Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth. And with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, the Michelle McCool to my Layla, Mr. Matt Scott. Matt Scott, how are you doing?
Oh, God, Mari's screaming on this podcast. Mari, I'm honored that I get to be the Michelle McCool to your Layla. I get to ride around on the big hogs, if that's what they're called, with the Undertaker, get to be really flawless. It sounds like a pretty good deal to me. I like it. Layla's not the best spot.
We get Layla's to split good, the championship but... in half, though. And
I don't want to do that. I'm not splitting like the championship that. With you. No, I'm turning. Well, I'm turning heel on you.
Yeah,
it's over. It's over.
Well, in your era, we wouldn't need to because there'd be tag team belts, so we wouldn't even have to split the championship.
Maybe you could have the Divas Championship and I could have the Women's Championship, and that'll be that.
Let's move on. So, Matt, how's it going this week?
It is good. It is good. And we're diving into things. It's another big brother week,
which is wild
that that started a week ago, but... Yeah, just trying not to be consumed by Big Brother is basically where it is at this point.
Right. I can't be consumed by wrestling and Big Brother. It's like, and then on top of it, Love Island is trying to sneak up in there. I love me some Love Island. I know it's so bad, but.
And so this is the difference between you and me, because you'll actually watch, whereas I'm just going to be like, yep, no, I'm going to stick to my two shows for the next 4 months, basically. So
yes, you have demonstrated that you have self-control when it comes to your TV watching. I have absolutely none. I watch any and everything, whatever I'm in the mood for that day. It is just so time consuming.
Honestly, the problem is I like this week only because I know that the one and only Rob Cesternino is being interviewed on Not My Archetype by Hannah Shapiro. I have been watching Survivor Amazon.
So,
I'm just like, let me watch all of these things that I'm not going to podcast about, which to me feels like it's slacking or just enjoying the past. But that's what I've been up to, watching 8 episodes of that over the past 5 days. So I need to get my priorities in order, but that's a new problem.
I can't think of a better way to spend your time, though. Watching.
I agree.
The great Mr. Boss Man himself, Rob, played Survivor on his best placing season. So there could be other worse things.
One icon, yes.
Yeah, yes. The Survivor Top 40 rankings are going strong. It's been great. We got a Survivor release date for the next season.
Yeah, like the 27th of September. I don't even look.
Yeah, September 22nd, I think. Yeah.
Numbers. The numbers all look the same when you're just staring at the live feeds and shows all the time. Too many numbers. But yeah, the September 22nd, it's coming back. Also, I will say, if anyone is craving other Survivor Philly is happening. That's a big Survivor game that's happening on Saturday, September 11th this year is when they're recording. So lots of Survivor coming into our lives. It will be on YouTube. I don't know when it'll be released, but Here's us talking about everything but wrestling.
Everything but wrestling, yes. So for all those wrestling fans, they're like, why are we getting reality TV? We do both. We can get you somebody who can do both. We do both. And there's not much news, really. So
yeah, and you know what? If you want us to give you more reality TV updates, if you want the Wrestling Rehab Up to become the Wrestling with Reality TV Rehab Up, that's what we'll do. We'll just start talking about reality TV and not wrestling. We are the hosts of the people. We are here for you. And yeah, we don't have news. We don't have any news or updates or anything wild like that this week, Mari.
All right. So with that, let's go into some plugs. If you have anything for us, if you want to send us any of your questions, you can send us an email, send your email to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @wrestlingrehapup.com. And you can join the conversation with us using #wrestlingrehapup on Twitter. Matt, where can the people find you on Twitter?
Well, you could find me on Twitter and on Stereo at Matt Scotch EW. And actually, it's a great time to follow us on Stereo because we're going to be popping up talking about Money in the Bank right after the show ends on Sunday. And so Matt Scotch EW is where to find me. You could also find me over in Job Has a Squadcast, the Facebook group. It's kind of secret, so super exclusive. If you want help finding it, you know, just slide into our DMs. We'll hook you up or something like that. But Mari, where can people find you? What other plugs do you have today?
Yes, you can always find me on Twitter and at Stereo. Mari talks too much. That's two, like the number two. And like Matt said, please come join us on Stereo for our live reaction podcast. It'll be immediately after Money in the Bank pay-per-view. So whenever it ends, give us about 15, 20 minutes. We have it scheduled for 11 right now. But the good thing about Stereo is if you download the Stereo app, you add us as a friend, you'll get a notification when we go live. And then when you're listening to us live, you can send voice notes and then we'll play your voice note and respond to it. And we'll, you know, hopefully it's a question or a comment and you'll hear yourself in the podcast. So go follow us on the Stereo app. We also have our very own podcast feed and Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. So please make sure you go rate, review, and subscribe and download our podcast feed. It's going to be at Wrestling Rehab Ups in that feed. Other than that, I think we should just hop right in. We'll dive into, we'll do NXT because NXT had a lot going on today, and we'll dive in before we get into our Money in the Bank predictions.
Yeah, and this NXT kind of felt like the WrestleMania of weekly NXTs. Like, there was so much that we can't even cover everything in depth, but wow, there was a lot, even from like the top of the show with the NXT Championship match. Oh my God, so much. Let's dive in. I'm trying to think of like a good wrestling move. I don't we're not going to suicide dive in, but like, let's like do a frog splash into this one.
There you go. We get Karrion Kross versus Johnny Gargano because they set this up last week. We talked about this last week. Johnny Gargano literally just handled Kross on the microphone, but as predicted, you know, Kross basically manhandled him in the match. He made light work of Johnny Gargano, but then he decided to attack Samoa Joe after the match, choking Joe out. And before this, we saw Joe kind of like go up to Karrion Kross and be like, you know, obey my rules and all this while you're in the match. Like, Joe clearly does not like Karrion Kross. So then Karrion Kross chokes him out, and then Samoa Joe like gets up and we think he's going to go after Karrion Kross. So this is, this is great, but I'm kind of confused. I thought Samoa Joe is not medically cleared to compete.
So I'm not sure. That's the story, but right. That clearly might not be true.
Yeah, that's why I'm confused.
Or that could have changed.
I thought that was true. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe that's what happened because
it definitely was true at some point.
It was definitely true at one point. That was the reason why he hasn't really had any real in-ring action for, it's been a long time now, I want to say, because he's been on commentary. He was on commentary in Raw, then they let him go and then they brought him back. So
yeah, and he had Like, I don't know what his last actual feud was before he really went on to commentary, but of course there's the really memorable Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe kind of thing on, or that was going on a few years back now. But you know what? Like, this whole dynamic is really interesting. One, because we didn't know that Joe could compete and that he was medically cleared. Two, because I don't know if anyone was like looking for a Samoa Joe Karrion Kross match, but
we are now.
We are now. Yeah. I mean, it would be interesting to see Joe against someone else, but I'm not going to complain about that. I'm just curious what we're getting here. And you know what? The other thing that just came to mind, Mari, as you were talking about Samoa Joe just laying down his rules, I was getting some 50 Shades of Grey vibes watching this episode of NXT because Joe was very much like the Christian Grey, like, here's what you need to do. And Cross was just like, no, you're not going to choke me. I'm going to choke you. And that was like the dynamic that I was very
I don't know if you've read 50 Shades of Grey.
I haven't. Okay, but I know there's a lot of like choking and rules. And yes.
I thought you were talking about the whole Scarlet hanging on Karrion's leg
we'll go with that too. Yeah,
exactly. So it was just like, it makes it way more interesting if we move to a Karrion Kross and a Joe feud. It also makes Karrion Kross look like, you know, he's the bad guy for like putting his hands on a man who technically can't wrestle. You know what I'm saying? That's what it makes it look like. So, and if anybody's going to take that belt off of Karrion Kross, Joe would be a very good option for that, I would definitely think. Mostly because Karrion has punked to everybody else, really.
He's like destroyed
in
everyone.
Match watch.
Yeah. But I think the other part of it too, with just like Joe, is that if he does take the championship, great. If he doesn't take it and Karrion Kross, I don't know, moves up to the main roster at some point, which is what the rumors are saying, and has to vacate the championship, like maybe we'll get a tournament. I have no clue what's happening. And I have a feeling that they don't know what's happening either, because the early rumors were that the draft was supposed to take place in like early September, right after SummerSlam. And now it's saying, oh, it's going to take place in October. And honestly, who even knows? Vince McMahon changes his mind all the time. So I wouldn't be surprised if it shifts again.
Exactly. So yeah, we don't know, but I like this ending for, to further or go into a Joe versus Cross feud.
I will say the thing that was like very odd at the end of this was that there was a segment that's on YouTube that's in our show notes in the playlist of Joe just after the match, but even more importantly, after getting choked out by Karrion Kross, just coming out of the ring, he picks up the steel steps and he just walks off, apparently looking to find Kross. Like, that's not the best weapon to carry with you. Like, grab a steel chair, grab a sledgehammer, like even a rope, whips, chains on the 50 grays of shades thing theme. Yeah, I have no clue what I've never seen it. Go. That might be the name, but you know, interesting. It'll be interesting to see how this develops. I will say with the medically cleared thing that I did think it was kind of curious that Joe was still able to kind of do some wrestling moves. Yeah. And like he would. Yeah. So that, to me, I just don't understand how the medically cleared thing works, but I feel like he's probably been medically cleared, because a lot of the time what we'll see is that, like, if someone's not medically cleared, you're not going to see them get touched. And maybe that depends on the injury, but I feel like that's a lot of what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I think it depends on the injury per se, because kind of like with Daniel Bryan, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. There was a lot of rumors out there that like Samoa Joe was like legit seriously injured. But I never could figure out what the injury was. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention. I don't know. I don't know if it's a head neck thing. I don't know. So I don't know, but I'm interested. No clue. He just kind of grabs the stairs and go after somebody. I mean, I want to know what's coming next.
Don't lift those stairs if you're injured. It's not good for your back, for your neck, for anything. Carry something lighter.
Right.
I don't know what. I'm not gonna go through any more weapons. I feel any other thoughts on this Cross Joe Gargano thing that's happening?
No. I mean, pretty much there. We gotta wait and see. So next thing we get is we get Ember Moon versus Dakota Kai. And I think this is kind of like they kind of try to was like, oh, Ember Moon came out and they're like, oh, she's so happy for Shotzi to move up. And I don't know.
I wouldn't be.
I mean,
I'd be like a little bit bitter.
Right. Because I mean, you're
like, if you were called up to like, I don't know what the comparison would be, but it would be like if you are called up and like, you know, Taryn's like, Mari, I'm going to retire, but I'm going to, you're going to replace me on the live feed updates. Never. And then I'm just here like alone because you would move on from me. Right. Well, I think I'd be pissed. Yeah.
But the thing is, Ember wants to be in NXT, though. You know what I'm saying? Ember.
Yeah.
Legit came back and really only wants to, from all that we know,
she's better.
Really wants to be in an NXT. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
he's better off there too, I think. Like a lot of, there's some people who are better for the main roster and like fit more with the personalities there. And then there are others who maybe they, I don't know if it's a personality thing necessarily or wrestling thing, but maybe it's both. Like Ember Moon has the wrestling skills to be able to kind of like teach others and help them level up to that, like I'll say a takeover level match, a main roster level, main eventer even level match, because she's just that good. Right. And I think that NXT is probably a much better place for her. And, you know, if one of the call-ups from NXT this week, which I'm actually really happy about, is any indication, like, we could see Ember called up again at some point, whether that's in a year, in 5 years, whatever it might be. But she's good where she is. She's good where she is right now.
Yeah, I think she is. I think they're still trying to find a character for her. I hate that they took her music from her. Like, we've been talking about this for like the past two seasons, but I hate that they've been taking everybody's music from them so that, you know, they can get from under CFO's original music. And I really want to know if they have like an in-house, like it doesn't feel like their current music situation is like a CFO's or like a Jim Johnston. Like it does, it feels like it's all Muzak to me, like legit. It does. A lot of the new stuff is just Muzak.
I'll tell you though, because I kind of like Ember's theme song before was amazing.
Right.
I kind of like her theme song now. And then like, I noticed Dana Brooke has a new theme song. That's kind of like, I don't think she has any business having that theme song. It's like a hip hop kind of like whatever situation, but like she has a new one. Like, I don't know why I'm only thinking of the women, but like Frankie Monet has one that kind of,
oh, hits. I like Frankie.
So So I'm kind of like Eva Marie's theme too. Like I don't know who's making the themes at this point though. I'm assuming it's probably in house, but honestly, like the whole CFO's thing is strange because maybe they just didn't look over their contracts clearly because but they are still able to use some of those songs. So,
well, it's from what I understand, WWE doesn't want to use those songs because they don't want to have to keep paying them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I have a feeling that maybe there's something with like crediting CFOs because they are like credited on every place where you could find any of those theme songs that they're part of. So
exactly.
Yeah, makes sense.
I don't know.
It happens. But
the Ember and Dakota Kai match was good. Of course, they both can legit go, in the ring. But so we get a Dakota Kai win. But like none of it mattered. Like that's the kind of weird thing about this. Ember looks great, but she loses. Dakota gets a win. Good for her. But it doesn't
matter. It matters. Because Dakota Kai got a clean win. Raquel didn't help in any way. And I think it kind of builds Dakota's credibility up even more than where it was, because a lot of the times in this dynamic of a large competitor like Raquel and a competitor like Dakota, it's kind of like, I think of the Diesel Shawn Michaels thing,
yeah, exactly.
Where it's like, oh, Shawn Michaels, cowardly heel. But this dynamic's definitely flipped where like the Diesel in the dynamic in Raquel has the championship, mm-hmm. and, you know, is more of the focus. And it seems like Dakota is just kind of stewing at the fact, like, I'm ready to step up. We've seen this multiple times, actually, with Dakota in the last several months that Raquel's been champion, where she's like, come on, come for me, step up to me. And then the person will walk right by her and go face to face with Raquel. And that's what we saw here with Xia Li again. Which, uh-huh. Yeah.
So, but where is it going? You know what I'm saying? I guess we know where it's going. It's going to Raquel mm-hmm. versus Dakota, but
at some point. But I feel like it might be going to like a Xia Li and partner versus Raquel and Dakota. And then maybe we'll see that turn. But I just, I love a good, like, back to the Shawn Michaels is getting a lot of cameos here, but Shawn Michaels and Mari Jannetty, like, give me some of that action, like that turn. I think in the case of these two, in the case of Orton and Riddle, like, that's the part that's going to be really hot, like when they turn on each other. And it's coming. It's coming at some point.
But if we're all suspecting it, you know what I'm saying?
Maybe it's a matter of how.
About the barbershop mirror window is
we weren't expecting it. We didn't see it coming. But you know what? I do think like it comes down to the how. Like if they find some really good creative way to do it. But you know what?
Yeah.
I love what I'm getting from Dakota, and my love for Dakota has now bled into my love of Raquel. And so I'm not mad. I'm not mad at it, but I get where you're coming from, where it's like, where exactly is this going and when? Hopefully it's a slow burn.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting as well. So we get Xia Li basically just come up, confront Raquel, and Raquel's like, oh, you want this? And it seems like, you know, Xia Li is Raquel's next competitor. Mm-hmm. But they both are greener than grass. We were just talking about this last week. Xia Li, unfortunately, you know, knocked Mercedes Martinez out.
Yeah.
Her and Raquel, I think, have been wrestling for about the same amount of time, 3 or 4 years tops. So it'll definitely be really interesting to see what kind of in-ring chemistry they have and what they will do in the ring, especially now that Xia Li doesn't have her old kind of like when she was a good guy, her gimmick was like a lot of the martial arts and the flipping around type mm-hmm. deal. Now she's trying to do like the hard hitting style against Raquel's big man hard hitting style. I want to see how that goes, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, but mm-hmm. this is kind of nice to take in. Like, I love the fact that Dakota is not the focus of this, and yet there's clearly like some kind of thing brewing there. So let's see. I was thinking about just her and her run in NXT earlier, and she came in through the Mae Young Classic. There was a lot of energy and excitement for her, and then she hurt her knee. And I actually remember
Dakota?
Coming back and
because all three of them,
everyone's hurt, probably hurting their knees.
But you know what I'm saying? Like they were at least all three in the tournament, but sorry, keep going.
But thank you. Yeah. And like, so Dakota injured her knee, came back, was still a face. Actually, I think at least when she first returned was a little bit slower and like she could get over as a face, but damn, she's good as a heel.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it.
Then, yeah, that her heel turn was legit unexpected when she turned mm-hmm. at the War Games
match.
Yeah, a few years ago. Next, we had the follow-up. Cameron Grimes and LA Knight had their match last week at Great American Bash. Cameron Grimes lost, so he had to be LA Knight's butler. And this was actually
It seems like he had the opportunity gifted to him to be Ellie's butler, because this man was way too happy to be there. And I mean, maybe being a butler is a great profession. Jeffrey on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air kind of made it look good. So maybe there's that. But damn, that look, I'm very happy for him. And I hope he updates his LinkedIn soon so I could leave a comment congratulating Cameron Grimes.
Yeah, like I liked in the video LA Knight was bragging like, yeah, I'm Cameron Grimes about to be my butler. And then Cameron Grimes comes in and he's like, yeah, I made it here. And he had that like, you know, I'm a man of my word. I love that little like, that's a way to get your baby face to be a, you know, a face. So he's like, I keep my word. So I'm here to pay off this debt. And then LA Knight starts like cutting his hair and his beard. I was really sitting there like, please don't cut it all off. Like I didn't like, I'm glad they trimmed it and they made him look presentable, but they didn't cut it off. And, you know, we get the big reveal of Cameron Grimes looking presentable in his butler costume. And then Cameron Grimes is like happy about it. He's like, yeah, look at me. Like, yeah.
Man, I look good. Like,
yeah. Elena is like, are you serious? You look like a penguin. Like, I think this is something I wasn't expecting, you know, with this storyline. So I think this was
I was ready for it. I was so ready for it, Mari, because I said to myself,
enjoy it.
That man, Cameron Grimes, every time I look at him, I think of South Park, and I think of the whole, they took our jobs. Like, that's exactly what I think about. And I'm not surprised that he's happy to have his job, especially in this economy. We have to remember. Good for him.
Even though he's a millionaire. Like he said, he's like, I'm new money. So I know the working man. I just thought it was funny. I didn't expect, I think these vignettes are going to be different than I thought. So I think it's going to be Cameron Grimes is going to just make a mountain, you know, make lemons out of lemonade in every one of the vignettes, while LA Knight is going to be trying to get under his skin and try and get him to not like the work. So I think that's a flip on the head, because I really thought we were, you know, going to get a more classic scenario between the two of them.
I have like two, well, I have maybe three questions here. Number one, do you think they're going to end up as a tag team?
I didn't until we watched this. I really didn't think this was going to be a tag team situation. But after the first vignette, I'm like, I think they might be a tag team. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. The second question, whose house was that? Mm-hmm. Whose actual house was that? Shoot. Because I mean, unless they went on Airbnb or something, shout out to Airbnb. Maybe we could get a sponsorship and some free homes to stay in. you know, I have questions because I feel like I'm assuming the house belongs to someone who works for WWE. That's just my guess, because I know that in the past, that's some of how they've filmed segments like 20 years ago, maybe. So maybe they professionalized and like are renting places for this, but that was interesting. My third question though, how old was that child that Cameron Grimes hired to do his dirty work and to mow that lawn? I have questions.
I'm pretty sure under the age of the child labor laws.
Yes, the child labor laws, the child protection laws. I have a lot of questions, but shout out to Noah, who's probably 11 and probably made $20 mowing that massive lawn. Good for him.
Yeah, that was good. I want to see more of this. I don't know. Cameron Grimes legit has sold me, because when he first debuted, was that 2 or 3 years ago? I was like, I don't know about this, but he's been doing great work. Both as a villain and as a hero, whatever.
You know what? He kind of like, in some ways, he doesn't give me Frenchie vibes. But I like to Big Brother. They're occupying similar parts of my brain. Like, even though they're very different, I like Cameron Grimes. Mm-hmm. Period. I like Cameron Grimes, but like Cameron Grimes way more. So,
yeah. Exactly. Ugh.
Yeah. Excited to see where this goes.
Yeah. So it really put a smile on my face, to be quite honest. I really actually enjoyed that. Surprisingly. Huh. Well, so we got Saray in action. Loving Saray. to be quite honest. So we got, she was talking about Toni Storm. And then Gigi Dolin pulled up and asked her for a match. Gigi Dolin, also known as Priscilla Kelly from the Indies. They had a really, really good match, really hard hitting match. So much so to the point where people on Twitter, of course, thought that Saray may have injured Gigi. Gigi had to get on Twitter and be like, y'all are ridiculous. Like, if you show it in slow motion, she clearly protected herself. And Gigi is not a slump. Like I said, she's formerly known as Priscilla Kelly, who was on the Indies. I mean,
yeah,
I didn't follow Priscilla Kelly's career that much, but I do know her as she, I don't know if you know this, Matt, but she was the woman who had did the tampon bit.
Oh my God.
That was her. Yeah. A lot of people didn't like that. Yeah. She did a lot of that like gross out stuff. I was definitely one of those people, but I remember when all of this was happening, people were like, yeah, we get it. That's not cool, but she can actually wrestle. And, you know, from then on, I have seen a lot of her stuff as Priscilla Kelly. It just, the initial shock of all of that is really,
you know what, really honestly, weird. And I'll also just say that I'm sure that there's a lot of gross stuff that,
yeah,
you can compare, like, that men have done that we just definitely don't even notice or think about or call out. So whatever. And, you know, that's interesting, though. I didn't make that mental connection.
We are not here to shame the female body or anything.
No. Like, and I'm glad you said that, too, because I'm like, it's not even like gross, but that's a whole other conversation.
I mean, you know. As a woman, I can say like menstruation is not the gross. That wasn't the gross.
Exactly.
Part. The gross part is what she did.
What she did with the tampon.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so sorry for anyone who's listening who's like, what? I need to Google this. You know what? Maybe that's the time. Pause the podcast right now. Make sure to download YouTube, it though. But you're on YouTube.
If you're on
maybe
YouTube
open a new
us.
Tab on. on a Mac, you just have to hit Command T. That'll open a new tab, and then you type in the YouTube into that little bar, and then you'll find what you're looking for. Yes,
but other than that, I mean, this was like a really fun match. I like Gigi Dolin as a character. The way she talks is, I'm like, okay, I don't know if you're trying to be cool or whatever, but I do like her as a character. I love the hair and all of that. But Saray gets the win. But like Mandy Rose just comes out. Like Mandy Rose just shows up,
trying to look like Trish Stratus on and the thing is, this is not the first time that she has shown up like this, because I swear, like, the thing that happens is she shows up, she's wearing like the same color palette as Trish on her debut, and then undoubtedly someone posts a picture of Mandy Rose, and I'm going to pull this up, though. If you're a YouTuber person and watching us here, you get the benefit of seeing this. But basically, like, the thing that keeps happening with Mandy is that she has this thing. She dresses a little bit like Trish, and then they make the comparison. So here's Mandy for you, just doing the Trish thing. And honestly, do you see the Trish Stratus comparison? Because I remember
Trish coming out with was a cowboy hat, but it was silver, but it was a bikini. It was a bikini top, long pants, long silver jacket, and the cowboy hat, I thought.
Do you think Mandy was trying to look like Trish?
I don't know. I think she's just another hot blonde who just showed up. What is that, a half jacket? Okay.
She has wearing? I don't know. I have a lot of questions. Yeah, if this is not a very practical outfit.
No, with the shoes either. Yeah. So if you're watching the YouTube version, you can see us pull up that photo. But it was really weird because we are talking about NXT before we get into like the meat of the of Raw and the Money in the Bank card, but This happens on Tuesday. This happens after Raw. And we'll get into it. But Mandy was on Raw with her current tag team partner, Dana Brooke. So what is happening? What is WWE doing over there?
They're trying to confuse us. They're trying to surprise us, Mari. Well, it's the element of surprise that clearly we've all been looking for. So when we see wrestlers like get over one week and then release the next week, that's just WWE playing mind games with us. That's what I'm gonna. That's what I'm gonna go with.
Yeah, and yeah, I yeah. Oh God, but she's here, I guess. What Saray talked after the match that she beat Gigi. She says she wants more action. I love this from Saray saying that she wants more action. And then she even she said hi, Mandy Rose. I'm like, okay, cool. I love Saray. I just think she's so cute and bubbly. And I hope, I don't know where they're going to go with her because WWE has notoriously not done very well with their Japanese challenge. But she is just so, I just love it. So I don't know. I hope we get more of her. I don't know if I really necessarily want her paired with Mandy Rose because
nobody does. And I think this is the thing where we don't, I'm guessing it's fair to say like we, Mandy Rose is like, if we had a top 50 of women's wrestlers, I'm not positive that Mandy Rose is in it realistically. And I think that makes a lot of sense for how she's been booked. But I wonder if like this run in NXT could get her over or what the purpose of it is. The thing that annoys me so much, though, is that there was the backstage interview that she had for a split second with Mackenzie Mitchell, because I was like, what is this person's name? Mackenzie Mitchell was like, why do you make your way back to NXT? And she said the line that literally I feel like everyone in NXT says, you'll see, which basically means I have no idea.
And like, so they just told me to show up tonight.
She's like, I'm just pretending that I'm that I know why I'm here, but actually I have no clue because I just got here yesterday. Or I just got here today, basically. Like, I feel a little bad for her for that. But I mean, and she has to have a good spirit. I hope that they told her there were great plans for her in NXT because it must be kind of odd to unexpectedly be yanked from your job on a Monday and put in a job the next day.
The middle of a program, because we will talk about it. She's smack dab in the middle of a program with her current tag team partner. So this is this is weird, but maybe we just need to wait. And finally, for the last of our NXT highlights, we have to talk about Aaliyah's final match. So, Casey Catanzaro and Kayden Carter went up against Aaliyah and Jessi Kamea, who are under the Robert Stone brand. And just like it's been happening for months, maybe even years now, Casey and Kayden Carter get the win over Aaliyah and Jessi. Robert Stone comes in. Casey was like serious there, right?
By the way, like I just want to mention at that, like that finisher, that neckbreaker 450 finish that they did. I mean, it's funny because I was like, whoa, this is super unique. Like they don't really, they don't, women do in WWE, I'll say, have not been like given those finishers or had the opportunity to put in super high impact finishers. Maybe a little, I don't think it's scary even. My thought was just like, whoa, I hope that we get more people booked with these
very like,
super intense finish. Very impactful.
Very impactful. When I saw it, I literally audibly gasped. I was like, oh, like, wow. Because she did a 450, but the opponent wasn't on the floor of the ring. You know what I'm saying? Kayden is holding the opponent in a net breaker situation. So that's even less room that Casey has to do that 450 and land perfectly on top of her opponent. Like that is skillful.
Professional.
Yeah.
That's what you call professional wrestling. Professional. That's wrestling.
Oh my God. And that's now a thing. Thanks, Jason.
Asia.
That's our last our podcast last week. But yeah, so yeah, not too many women get to do a 450, like you said. Bianca can do it. I love when she does it, but I like that she only pulls it out in certain matches. But really impactful finisher. Aaliyah gets pinned here. Yeah, Aaliyah gets pinned.
Good for her.
Yeah.
That's her thing.
Right. Robert Stone comes out and Aaliyah just starts teeing off on Robert Stone, saying, I've done more for you than you have for me. And she starts beating him up, which is, I mean, it's honestly true. She's been with that Robert Stone brand for, it has to be at least 2 years at this point.
And that hasn't even been most of her run
career in NXT. Yes.
Wild.
And Robert Stone has the talent of getting beaten up by women. It is a talent, like getting run over by Shotzi's tank. Just being when that one time when he was like all down and out and he was letting his beard like overgrow and he was getting beat up by Mercedes Martinez. He has a real, what's the dude's name that was Carmella's with Carmella? Ellsworth.
James Ellsworth. I was also going to go with like a throwback before we were born, but like Andy Kaufman type of thing too, where he also was in with women all the time. By the way, this man, I don't know where his shoe went, but he lost one of his shoes.
It is so funny. Yeah, because he's just so good at playing that really dopey character, just complete dope. And she beat the crap out of him.
She did. And I liked every second of it. And I loved how the fans increasingly loved it. Like, it's strange because with Aaliyah, she's never had a time shining or a time in the sun in NXT in any way. And she just beats down this man and yells at him. And now she's like so over in NXT with those fans, and it did feel like a proper send off for her because people were chanting her name. Like, but it's wild because it shows you how quickly you could get someone to be like red hot in the fans' eyes, at least.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if they told the fans something before the match or something, but were they chanting "Thank you, Aaliyah" or something like that?
There were like two people who chanted "Thank you, Aaliyah," then it stopped because maybe like one person knew, or maybe that's the sense that they got from the segment and just like the way that she beat him up and kind of got out of there. But no, it was just a lot of like. By the time she was walking out and on the ramp, she was blowing kisses to the fans. So, maybe that gave some of that away.
The understanding apparently is that maybe Aaliyah might be being called up for the people listening. I'm not explaining that to you, Matt, you know,
but
everybody thinks that she might be going up to the main roster. So,
I just had a reaction to that as you said it too, because I'm like, they didn't. No one's actually confirmed that she.
Yeah, well, they haven't confirmed it.
But the idea, the news cycle is telling us that she was apparently traded for Mandy Rose to the Raw roster, which like we can just trade people now.
Yeah,
we can trade people whenever we want.
Maybe. I guess we're both coming to the logical conclusion right now that maybe this is, you know, we need to wait a little bit more because wrestling journalism has been shaky at times, to say the least.
I think that we're like, look, anything.
I believe it. Yeah. So
do you think we'll get Aaliyah in Money in the Bank?
No, we only have one spot left and we'll get to it. If it's not filled by one woman, then.
Oh, I have a couple of people who are on my list for that, but we'll get there.
Well,
soon.
That's true. Okay. That's true. Yeah. So this was an interesting send off. If this is truly Aaliyah's last match in NXT, good for her. I mean, we've talked about that 2015 docuseries Breaking Ground was such a good docuseries. And she was still there. She's been in NXT for a very long time.
She was like 19, I think, at that time. And she was worried about getting released in Breaking Ground. And
yeah.
whoop, she's still not released.
Yeah, I know people aren't like, people were never hoping she got released, but I always know whenever like releases happen, people are like, oh my God, Aaliyah has survived again.
No, I'm really happy for her because she has obviously gotten better over time and she's had the time to kind of improve. Like, she better be the best wrestler that we're going to see called up to the main roster. Cause if I was in Aaliyah's wrestling boots, I'd probably assume that I wasn't going to make it all the way to the main roster at any point, especially after so long. So
yeah, but we've seen this with Min as well, though. This is Ty Dillinger.
He's a great example. Yeah, he's the number one example, I think, because he was in developmental for almost
10 years.
A decade.
Almost 10 years. Yeah. Him and Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze as well.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
From what I remember.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's happened before. So we'll see. We'll see what she does on the main roster. I think I've turned into Mandy Rose.
You're the Mandy Rose. And speaking about appearances that people make, Aaliyah blows her kisses, says goodbye. Frankie Monet, of all people, comes out to the ring dressed in her best, like, Earth Day businesswoman attire. She is looking like Mother Earth, and I thought that was really, that was an outfit choice. But you know what? It seems like she's in charge of the Robert Stone brand now, maybe.
Which could be, like, her, Jesse Kamea, and Robert Stone could be a really cool women's faction type thing, because she has the gravitas to kind of pull that off. Like with Aaliyah paired with Robert Stone, he's a chump. That's a chump manager who gets punked out.
Don't call out Robert Stone like that.
It's true. Like, but she was getting punked out too. So it's like, y'all just look like the down and out, down in your luck team.
You know, you're gonna say Downton Abbey. I was like, okay.
No, like down in your luck. Yeah. Like, When Carmella had James Ellsworth, Carmella was still acting like $1 million. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know if Frankie is taking over Robert Stone brand, or she's also, I can't remember. Did it seem like she was trying to work with him?
She led them off and he was like, go, follow her, go with her.
Right.
Maybe they had some kind of deal, but in my opinion, I don't care what the official roles are. I don't care what the org chart is.
Yeah.
Frankie Monet is in charge. The org chart. Yeah. We don't care.
And her gimmick.
Robert Stone is not in charge.
Yeah. Her gimmick is perfect for that type. And I love Frankie Monet. She's just so tall too.
She's growing on me.
I love it.
I don't think I fully get it, but I know like her Taya Valkyrie and her background. And I just wasn't like as familiar, but I'm excited to see what she does. Cause everyone I know or everything I see is really positive on her.
Yeah, I like Taya Valkyrie. I'm a fan of her stuff. So
So
that's it for the NXT highlights. Again, all of our highlights can be found in our show notes under our YouTube videos or in the descriptions of the podcast. So let's just take a quick break. Okay, so let's frog splash into it. Let's Falcon Arrow into this Money in the Bank preview. No,
exactly. We can moonsault into it.
Yes. So the big pay-per-view it's here. This has been so fun, like with all our guests trying to get people excited. Money in the Bank is like one of my favorite pay-per-views because it does feel like that. Normally, it does kind of feel like anything can happen. Even though there's some people you're like, I don't think they're going to win, but you just never know.
Anything could happen. And I mean, we saw, did Otis? No.
Otis won. Yes.
He actually won though. Because the thing that's messing with my mind is like he won, but then he lost the Money in the Bank and to the Miz. So it's,
and again, another reason why, like anything if it goes happen. On a face, then the briefcase can always end up transitioning to a heel.
That could have been great, though. That could have been amazing with Otis. Yeah. He just won the championship. He was red hot, and they just dropped it. And speaking of Mandy Rose.
They took Mandy away from him. Yeah.
That was a moment.
It was weird. How does WWE simultaneously go all in on somebody while also kneecapping them? Like,
it's a talent. It's a skill. They do a impressive. They do, like, I'm just picturing like Vince McMahon and the writing team just doing chop blocks to like Otis and Mandy at that point. Oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough.
That
but
was
you know
just
what?
A year ago too.
That was literally like not even a year ago before it ended. Wow, what is time?
What is time? Let's get into the WWE Championship match again. This Bobby Lashley is the WWE champion. He's going against Kofi Kingston. This has been one of the best storylines, like, going for a few months now. And on Raw this week, Xavier Woods beat Bobby Lashley. And when I tell you, it was the funniest thing. Like, not only did Xavier Woods just beat Bobby Lashley on, like, TV and all that, Xavier Woods made the biggest deal of it on social media everywhere. It was so hilarious. Xavier Woods was not letting up.
That was ridiculous. I mean, the fact that he won too, I think is so good. And honestly, I almost feel like somebody in the writer's room like showed up and they're like, hey, I have this really great idea. Let's just swerve the fans. Like, let's just start to give them surprise finishes. They did that like on two or three matches for the Money in the Bank qualifiers a few weeks ago on the same show. They did that again here, giving the win to Xavier. And I'm happy about it. Like, what?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Like, I don't think either of us, if we're probably thinking ahead a little to Money in the Bank, are picturing a Kofi win, but.
Right.
This is pretty great going into the pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's great storytelling because it lends credence to the next clip of Kofi Kingston saying that he's going to shock the world at Money in the Bank. Like, we told you, Bobby Lashley is not infallible. MVP is trying to throw a party after Lashley's been beat. Like, this was a great setup. And like Jason and Asia were saying last week, if I hadn't told them that we didn't think Kofi was going to win, they were all in. They thought that it was a possibility. So this is a great way to build this type of storyline out. It has been amazing to watch ever since. And then this last segment of Bobby Lashley berating MVP, demolishing the VIP lounge, scaring the ladies away. Like, wow. That's a great go-home segment.
I know, it's a great go-home segment, and part of me at first in the segment was like, oh, okay, this is a way of Bobby Lashley just saving face and trying to kind of like explain himself away and kind of blame it on MVP, but he was legit mad. Like, that was an intense moment. Lashley was broken. He was broken, and he didn't even appreciate Lashley's ladies, who showed up as always. Shout out to Lashley's ladies who were there in the building. But wow, what, like, I started to feel a little scared of
me,
Lashley.
Right? Yeah, and this is great. It's great storytelling because now Lashley is fired up going into the pay-per-view. We didn't need a momentum match for him to do it. And now we're scared. Now we're like, oh, Kofi, like, be careful. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know,
Bobby Lashley picked up that, like, that sofa, that love seat, and hurled it. I was like, is Bobby Lashley, does he have a moving company? Because I will very soon need my furniture moved. And he really made it look like it was like
not the breezy. Moving company. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, he, like, his outfit, even, because I was like, this man. Well, there's something familiar about this. He reminds me of Terrence Howard in the movie Crash. Very sweaty, you know, things disheveled. Falling, clothes disheveled. This is the Bobby Lashley look right now. And I have to say, I'm glad that the ladies got out of there because he was just like, he was basically taking over the ring crew's job before they got there. Like, don't worry, I'll clear this ring out. Nothing for you to do. So and he was so fired up and angry. This is going to be good going into the match at Money in the Bank.
Yeah, this is going to be really good. So predictions, I think Bobby Lashley takes it here. I do.
Yeah. I think especially if, you know, like MVP Lashley are calling Kofi a clown, saying they have to send him back to the circus. Right. It's sad, but yeah. I think he's going back to the circus. And, you know, Kofi would probably have fun in the circus.
You're right.
Him and Josh Martinez, like, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Oh, reality TV. We love it.
Yeah. So next up, we have the Universal Championship, Roman Reigns versus Edge. So we are recording this, full disclosure, before SmackDown. But we didn't get to talk about them a lot last week because we had fantastic guests. And all we wanted to do was talk to our fantastic guests. So yeah. Last week's SmackDown, I'm looking at the highlights.
There was a lot that happened, but like one of the things that stood out to me that we kind of brushed over is that Edge kind of found himself being confronted by the Usos and Roman and the Mysterios, who Edge has history with, backed up Edge. And so that's kind of where we've left things at this point. But there's also the clip from Talking Smack where I was so impressed because Edge was just sitting there. There aren't that many people who are better than him at what he does. And the fact that I felt like I was watching like inside the wrestler studio or like inside the Edge studio. We'll work on the name, but it was so impressive because he knows his character so well. And that comes across really clearly watching that segment. Like, honestly, if there was a wrestler who was training, like, I would send them that video just to watch and see how Edge has like somehow probably in his free time completely, because you know the writers aren't doing it, has like processed what his character is, what the motivation is, what the backstory is. And it all just seems like he's natural and talking about it like he believes it. Like, we don't get that a lot from wrestling.
Because it's that old school wrestling. It's when they had to really embody the characters. They weren't handed scripts. You know, they really had to make sure they were coming from a real place and to find that real place within him, because he's sitting there talking very calmly about going to a place where he has to really hurt Roman Reigns. And very disturbing, while also comparing Roman Reigns to some of the greatest wrestlers of all time, comparing him to The Undertaker and stuff like that. Like it was an amazing promo. And Pat McAfee, again, I feel like I can talk about how much I love Pat McAfee in this atmosphere over and over and over again. It was like Pat McAfee was kind of born to do this.
He sells for everything.
Yeah.
He sells for everything. And like, that's the thing that I don't think a lot of the announcers that they pulled in who don't have the wrestling background don't do. They don't sell for everything. But like, Pat McAfee.
He's
love
so
that
good.
Man.
Yeah, he's so
I hope he gets more segments where he gets to like sit with Big E and like soak his feet, or like maybe get a massage while he's screaming. He deserves it. Good for him.
Exactly. So we'll see how this advances on SmackDown tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. But we're getting Roman Reigns versus Edge in a Universal Championship match. So far, no stip. Yeah, no stipulation. So I got to go with Roman Reigns because, again, Roman is on a track to really do some good work with this heel character he's doing. So I want to see how Edge loses. I want to see the booking of this match. I think it's going to be good. I think they'll find a way to still protect Edge, maybe.
I'm just wondering like what match will close the show. I feel like it might be this one out of all of them. And I don't really know, because Edge has said like he's talked such a good game, and he's also talked about what happened at WrestleMania. They've referenced the chair in the mouth that he did to that he's done to the Usos now, and he did to Roman at Mania. Right. So how does he lose here?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it might be, if I had to imagine, maybe there's a run-in that starts Edge's SummerSlam feud. I just don't, like the way that we've been talking about it too, the way we've been talking about it too, it just doesn't seem like we're going to get this Edge-Roman thing continuing. Honestly, right. I don't think that's the most fun thing that we could see, the most fun outcome and arrangement. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this finishes, but we'll I don't know. I'm just like thinking to myself, like, I wonder if this is anything, if Money in the Bank will play a role. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see. There's so many.
Because they always seem to close, they do the championship matches after the Money in the Bank matches, just in case. Yeah. So yeah, I guess we'll see. We'll see. So we also have the Raw Women's Championship match. So we're finally coming back to Rhea versus Charlotte. So Matt, this has to be the end all be all here, right? Like they have to squash this. I know.
Whoever
wins this has to start making their way towards the whatever the big SummerSlam match is.
Where's Money in the Bank taking place again?
I wanted to say Houston, but then I think that's the SmackDown. I think SmackDown's going to be in Houston. I don't know. It's in Texas.
SmackDown's in Miami.
SmackDown's in Miami?
Oh, wait. No, it's two locate. I don't know
that's
anymore, Mari.
That's so confusing.
It's so confusing.
But they're back on the road. Yeah, they're out there with the fans. Look,
all I know is that I want to show up to that arena and just beg them to end this feud. End it, please. Like, please.
Yeah.
This
week we got Charlotte talking about how she, of course, the dirtiest player of the game. And then
I liked how brief, like, we get that from Charlotte. It's great. Charlotte says, "I'm gonna win that match," but
right.
Ooh, we got that. We got a little confrontation between them after the Rhea Natty match, but that was an amazing match. As a note, before we touch on that,
That was probably Rhea's.
I would
best
say
match so.
So
far.
I would say so.
Which, it's Natty.
It's duh. Yeah. She's a heart.
Yeah.
Have you been in a dungeon?
Right. I not many people have dud matches against Natalya. Like, that's just unheard of. So yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised. Natty has been doing a lot. We know she does a lot of coaching and practicing with a lot of the girls backstage. So this was probably just a good way to, you know, get Rhea like loose and limber for her and Charlotte's match. But yeah, Rhea wins, and then Charlotte comes out and attacks her, puts her in that figure eight. It was a four, and then she dragged her to the edge of the apron, and then
did become an
body weight.
Is it still a four or is it an eight? Or does it become like a 24 or so? Like some, I feel like there's some math involved with all of this, and I don't understand any of it. It could have been a six, the figure six hanging from the outside of the ring, which somehow inflicts more pain. I kind of like you've been saying, I like what they've been doing. I'm just tired of seeing Rhea and Charlotte together, but let's just hope. I just want the championship out of their feud dynamic. I just like, let's move it to some other people who are more dynamic and more interesting here.
Right. Exactly. So, I'm very interested to see.
I'll just call it now. I want there to be a cash in, and I want that cash in to win this championship.
No.
I want it.
Not this night. Not on this night.
I want it on Sunday.
They just did it last 2 years. The last 2 years, women's money in the banks have been cashed in on the same night. I do not want to see that again.
Mari, look. We'll see. We'll see. I think that's our new catchphrase.
I know.
But
that's
like
wrestling.
But we'll literally, oh no. But like literally, I'm hoping for that because of this match, because it's Charlotte. I really kind of wish secretly that there were two women's money in the banks. That is, you keep, every time you say that, I'm like, you know what? I hope the cash in doesn't happen. But we'll get to the women's Money in the Bank and talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I am just going to put it out there for the world. I'm going to say I choose Rhea Ripley because I think you have to finish this story and you got to finish it with this ending. I know I'm betting against Charlotte Flair, which is dumb, but I'm just putting that into the air.
I will just say there's really no shame in losing to Charlotte. But you know what? Let me go with Charlotte. That's one of the situations where it's like, if I'm right, that feels good. And if Rhea wins, that kind of feels good too.
Okay, so let's get into the Money in the Bank matches. So first off, we have the men. The men's match has been complete for weeks now. So we get Ricochet, John Morrison, Riddle, Drew McIntyre, Big E, Kevin Owens, King Nakamura, and Seth Rollins. So, excuse me.
Where do we even start with this one?
Yeah, so this is huge. So basically all the highlights we have are just, you know, from Raw. It's the whole, the promos being cut. I'm going to be Mr. Money in the Bank. We got that from Drew McIntyre. The Miz and John Morrison have been basically playing tricks on Ricochet and Riddle, which led to Ricochet and John Morrison having a false count anywhere match. Was a great match, but a bad match to have like 5-6 days before you have to be in another ladder match. Like, but it was a good little preview because we know John Morrison is going to be taking the bumps. Ricochet is going to be flying his butt all over the place. So it was really cool. Yeah, it was really cool. We didn't get to talk last week about how King Nakamura went up against Baron Corbin for his qualifying match. He beat Sad Baron Corbin.
He did.
Yeah, and so Nakamura is in the match. Nakamura, along with Rick Boogs, plan to add the Money in the Bank contract along to the new kingship. And then finally, last week, we got Cesaro versus Seth Rollins in their qualifying match where Seth Rollins won. So,
yeah,
they surprisingly, with that feud, even though it was technically a 50-50 feud, they did do a good job of making Cesaro look like the man while also keeping Seth at the top, you know, with this win here. So this was kind of hard to call to me. I mean, do you go with the obvious? I mean, I feel like there's kind of an obvious choice where you can go. If they feel like going back into the well, they go with Drew McIntyre just to kind of close that whole loop.
They better not.
I personally would not like it, but you know, they I don't really think trust and like Drew.
I think that if Drew wins, there's a chance that he gets booed. Yeah.
I mean,
just because it's like,
I wouldn't argue with you.
People have been watching that for so long, been watching him for so long. And I just, you know, I think a huge part of it too is like, who, number one, this is worth thinking about too, because this is the fans just coming back. But like, who would the fans want to see and have the best reaction to in the win? Like, I feel like Riddle has a chance of winning here, even though I mean, maybe there is a Riddle storyline here with Riddle and Randy, especially since Randy is not, at least as of now, in that
Randy
match.
Randy has not been on Raw.
Yeah, what happened to him? I thought he missed his flight three weeks ago. Maybe he got trapped in a broom closet.
Right. That would be so funny if he ran up on Money in the Bank. He's like, Riddle has had me locked in the cellar for weeks now. Why didn't any of you come and look for me?
They stopped the match. They're like, whoa. We need to start a criminal investigation here. Like, we have Ice-T come out. Mariska Hargitay, whatever her CSI character is. Like,
I don't think Riddle needs another criminal investigation. So
he definitely doesn't. not. Or maybe he does, actually. I don't think it would hurt.
He's one lighter, so. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's used to that. So,
right.
No, it's like, it'll be good. I would like to see Ice-T with his own briefcase and his gloves. And like, I don't know what investigations are like, and I hope I never find out.
Yeah.
But yes, this will be a moment. But yeah, looking at the field, so. Just going through it, like we have Ricochet. I don't see Ricochet winning.
Ricochet again, got the win on Raw too. So
exactly.
That's a, you know.
I would kind of like say between Ricochet and Johnny Drip Drip, a.k.a. John Morrison, a.k.a. the mayor of Slamtown, I don't see him winning here.
Mm-hmm.
Riddle has a chance in my mind. Drew has a chance in my mind. We haven't talked about Big E, though.
Big E is... probably who I'm going to pick. He's my odds on favorite. He's the one that I want to see win. And if we're talking about a crowd reaction, Big E's getting that crowd reaction, I'm thinking. I also think Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens, notoriously, like, people love Kevin Owens. So the two of them.
See that, but not his win.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, Kevin Owens is vicious enough that if he has the briefcase, if he does, he can do that tweener thing where he can torment somebody. Meanwhile, Big E gets that briefcase. He's going to be gyrating with it. He's going to be like, you know, definitely threatening, but not threatening. Ooh. So I want to see Big E win. I really want to see that because Big E can do amazing things with that briefcase, especially if he gets to hold it for a while. Shinsuke,
oh, man.
I feel like him getting the title of the king is like his consolation prize for him not going to be able to win this. And Seth Rollins is just too super famous for his own Money in the Bank win and subsequent cash in. I don't even think you should mess with that legacy. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't do it again, because you can't top the first time.
And then it would potentially become some weird thing where it's like, ooh, Seth has the briefcase, but Roman's the champion, but they're both heels. And I don't see that happening. I feel pretty good about the idea of Big. I really want Big E to win. I'm with
Me
you there.
Too.
But if I just wanted to go with a secondary option and let you have Big E, I would say that Riddle's probably going to take it, just because this whole Randy Orton thing is so weird.
Well, you don't think I'm thinking we're getting like the Wyatt family toppling Roman. I think we're gonna get Randy costing Riddle the match in the middle of the match.
I mean, we'll see.
Yeah,
but I don't. I'm very concerned for Randy Orton's whereabouts, and I think someone should file an Amber Alert just because it's been a few weeks and
he's too old for the Amber Alert.
I don't know I haven't seen his ID. I don't know that for a fact, but someone needs to find Randy. Get Randy back. He's had a long year. Hashtag where's Randy? He went from spitting up sludge at the start of the year to then being haunted and attacked by both Alexa and the Fiend and all that drama. And now he's here missing. And I feel like this is probably the worst part of his year.
And nobody seems to care.
Yeah. Nobody cares.
They're taking Riddle's word that he is like communicating with him by drawing little snakes and on a paper. Like, anyways,
what if this turns into like some like
Silence
not
of the
serial
Lambs.
Killer, but like a true crime esque like
single white female.
Like, I'm picturing like ripped from the headlines, like again Nancy Grace here. Picturing like we're gonna get some of Riddle, you know, being interviewed about where Randy's whereabouts. His story's gonna be inconsistent. They're gonna find blood spatter outside of the arena, probably on the Thunderdome screens, and it's over for him.
Oh my God! Why hasn't WWE tapped into the true crime fans and done a true crime storyline?
They don't want anything to do with that.
Well, they haven't done one since Who Killed Mr. McMahon, you know, that they had to solve in a week. Anyways,
I hope that my keys are waterproof because I just spit all over them.
All right.
So yeah, that was a moment. Let's move on.
Yeah, to the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Now, this one is talk about flying by the seat of your pants. So we know that Asuka, Naomi, Alexa Bliss, and Nikki Cross will be representing
Nikki Raw. Nikki Ash.
You're right. Nikki Ash.
A-S-H.
A-S-H. Almost a superhero. Nikki Ash. Yeah, because we especially know that because on Raw this week, there was the fatal four-way between the four women who will be competing. But before we get into that, SmackDown side is so ridiculous because we touched on it last week, but Carmella was introduced as Bianca's opponent because unfortunately Bayley got injured. So, but they took Carmella out of the Women's Money in the Bank match. They replaced her with Liv Morgan, but at that point they still only had, it was Carmella and Zelina that were announced for it. So now we have Liv Morgan and Zelina Vega announced for it, and then they randomly put it on Twitter before Raw that Natalya is automatically now in this match, which makes sense because she is like, you know, she's the ring general. She's going to make sure everything goes smoothly.
Kayfabe, though, it makes no sense.
Oh, kayfabe, so no, not at all. No, kayfabe, not at all.
I will say we haven't touched on this yet. And we were talking a little bit about Natty earlier, but we did have a segment with Natty as a side note. Let's go through who's in the match. So you mentioned Asuka, Naomi, Alexa, Nikki Ash. Natty is in the match.
Liv Morgan. And Zelina Vega. And there's still one open spot from the women's SmackDown spot side.
That's
to be determined. So I'm assuming they're going to be doing like they've been doing the last 4 weeks. They're going to say Sonya Deville is going to announce the final participant in the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. We'll get to our speculations on who we think that might be at the end here. But on Raw, we got Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke saying they want to foil Natalya's plans. Natalya was talking to one of the journalists saying that she's going to go in there. She's going to be Miss Money. She's going to be Miss Money in the Bank. But she said something really weird. She said, I'm going to be the first Raw Women's Champion, SmackDown Women's Champion, Miss Money.
She's going to have all the belts. We're going to have Natty 3 belts is what she's saying.
Oh, is that what she was? I'm that's a little what confused about that. Because I'm like, look, Bayley did that. Bayley Ben did that, though.
No. Mari. Let me break down Natalya's plan. She sent me her blueprints for the plan earlier. Yeah. So step one, her thought is beat Rhea Ripley on Raw. Because then you beat Rhea, you get a shot at the championship. Step two, win Money in the Bank on Sunday. Got it. Step three, use Money in the Bank and beat Bianca. Step four, continue to be tag champion. And then she has 3 championships. Which
are you? Was that the real plan? Or are you playing with
that? That's literally what she was taught. Because
I could not understand it.
That's literally what she was talking about.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's really inspired too.
I mean,
it came out of nowhere.
Aim for the star, shoot for the stars, land on the moon.
You might you might just hit a something.
Yeah.
However that saying goes.
So,
astronaut.
Her and Tamina was kind of being kind of. Tamina was like, yeah, okay, let's go. Like, it seemed like Tamina was kind of like, I don't know if I want Natalya to win any of that. But anyways, they overheard Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, and Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke are like, we're going to make sure you don't do any of that. But again, this was Monday. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke clearly doing their tag team stuff. And now Tuesday, we don't know what's going to happen. So that's scratched out.
Then, and the way that we see this blown off is basically Tamina shoves Dana into like a road case really hard. And then Mandy holds her back. And then that's the last time that we see Mandy on WWE Raw. What a way to write her off.
Yeah.
It would make sense that if she appeared again, let's hope that they do that.
Yeah, they do that. They have to They have to finish this story.
Like, have one match. They could still do that. They could still have her have that. Like, have her and Dana have a match with Tamina and Natty. So,
yeah,
we don't know.
Another one, I guess. We then got Alexa's Playground, where Alexa had Eva Marie and Dewdrop on there.
Weird.
It was kind of funny because
Dewdrop was the invited guest, not Eva.
Yeah, Eva showed up. When did Alexa Bliss become a face?
Is that what she is?
That's what they're playing her off to be. She's now fun. She's like, yeah, Dewdrop. Can you say Dewdrop? Your name is so cute. Dewdrop. Like,
it might be when she got the doll. Well, no, she was still creepy then. And then she was creepy with Shayna. Maybe it had something to do with the Shayna. I think it was the Shayna, Nia, Reginald stuff.
And she has new music too. I think this is even new music. Yeah, I think it is. And it's more, again, it's more like poppy. It's like, hey, hi. And I was like, what is happening to this gimmick? I am so confused. Mm-mm. But I it's trending face for me, and I don't understand it. So Eva Marie talking, saying like,
I had to watch that segment on 2x speed because she talks so slow. Like, girl, what is going on?
You are just talking.
Literally, I was watching it on. I was like, this is not. We're gonna take it on 2x because it sounds a lot more natural on 2x. Yes. But I was like, did she hit her head last week? What happened?
She was trying to remember lines. That's what happened. And
it was sad, but I mean, maybe like I like that that cadence for her where she sounds like really like clueless, and I don't even know. I can't even imitate it. It was so unnatural. She was
more like, this playground is disgusting. I was like,
slow down. No, she was like
even slower. Yes.
Playground is like, no, speed it up. We don't need to fill time. This is Raw. It's live. Let's go.
Yes. And again, Dewdrop, poor Dewdrop was like, why am I here? Like, why am I even
so
here?
Rude.
It was a funny interaction between Alexa and Dewdrop. Eva Marie not being invited to the playground, but then coming in to insult it anyways, talking about how she's the one who's been winning. We point that out because when you go to the Fatal 4-Way match between Nikki A.S.H., Alexa Bliss, Asuka, and Naomi, Alexa Bliss, Dewdrop, and Eva Marie come out, and Alexa starts like messing with them. Like, Alexa starts screaming at Eva. And you're thinking that maybe Dewdrop is going to be on Alexa's side, but Dewdrop ends up like slapping Alexa, and then Dewdrop throws Alexa over the barricade, right? And then they both look over the barricade and she's gone. And this was basically at the beginning of the match. Alexa Bliss was nowhere for the rest of the match.
And I will say, I didn't feel like it was well played on the part of Dewdrop to attack Alexa. Like, that is clearly your friend, probably your only friend in WWE. Do if I could call you Do, Do it was okay. Drop. I just thought that was the part that bothered me. Like, what is Eva doing for you that you are out here like this for her? Like, what is it? What's going on? Why are you continuing to put up with this abuse?
Yeah. So the biggest thing that, I mean, other than that, also though, Nikki A.S.H., Asuka, and Naomi were having a great match in the
ring. Absolutely.
So good. Mm-hmm. So again, these are going to be the workhorses here for the women's match. Nikki A.S.H. ended up getting the win, which of course, you know, is normally the nail in the coffin there for,
her win at Money in the Bank.
Exactly.
But I mean, we'll see. Anything could happen. And again, I take solace in the fact that whoever's in charge, I give credit to Vince McMahon, but there are lots of other people. I just feel like they'll wake up on Sunday and make their real decision. Like, even if they have plans, those plans have changed, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. But the most concerning thing about this is they dispatched Alexa and she was not in the match. And this is why I didn't like her last appearance in the Money in the Bank match that she actually won. She laid outside on the outside while a really good match was happening on the inside of the ring, and then waited and grabbed the briefcase later.
And was able to cash in because she had like no damage. Exactly.
Yeah. Like, that annoys the hell out of me. Like, I really do not like that. So if she's going to do something like that again at Money in the Bank, not like, I'm really hoping that they wouldn't give her Money in the Bank again. First off, it doesn't make sense with her character right now. Second, this is what, the fourth, if I remember correctly, it's the fourth, if you don't count the double, that double ladder match for the first time. This is only the fourth women's Money in the Bank. And so we had Carmella, we had Alexa, we had Bayley, and then Asuka. So it is way too early to double up again on when you have so many good women in this match. So saying that, I hope Alexa doesn't win again. Hope Asuka doesn't win again. And so for me, I guess
it could happen though. I think Asuka's a weird one where like she's always hovering toward the main event of the women's division. Like they could pull the trigger on with her any moment. So
I mean, that's what happened last year. We didn't exactly. They really did pull a trigger on her. So for me, just from the names given, let's speculate first. So,
well, like, let's dive into this. What are you thinking? Because we did have two spots like that. We were talking about how there were two spots open last week, and now there's only one spot because Natty was added to the match. So, what, number one, do we assume that this will be someone from SmackDown added to the match?
I hope so. I mean, they said it's 4 versus 4, like 4 spots for Raw, four spots for SmackDown. And Natalya and Tamina are technically on SmackDown, even though they're the tag team champions. They're originally drafted to SmackDown. So, and if it was just going to be Tamina, I feel like they would have already announced that, you know. So this has to be Sasha Banks here, right? She didn't get to participate in last year's match.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. I don't know why. Did she? Why didn't she?
No, she didn't. I feel like she was injured.
She was still kind of playing like Bailey's best friend. Was this?
Yeah, that was a strange moment in Sasha's life. I have no clue what it was. I feel like she might have been
injured-ish.
They were definitely. I'm going to talk as slow as Eva Marie as I search Wikipedia to figure out what was going on in this time last year. Honestly, I don't even look. I don't even know anymore.
I know she wasn't in it.
No, and I'm pretty sure they were still. Look, you know what? We're just going to leave the details out of it. But she wasn't in it.
So I want it to be Sasha. They need to put the butts in the seats. Depending on if we're going to get Sasha versus Bianca 2 at SummerSlam, which I don't see how we don't, seeing as how, some news we should have talked about. Sasha and Bianca won the ESPY Award for Best WWE Moment.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
They're definitely listening. Yeah, but that was awesome. That was cool to see.
It was amazing to see. So
I wish they would have like kayfabed it, though, like not standing next to each other
was it just me? I was like, oh, look at that simmering distrust while they sit next to each other and smile. Like
you are like trying to keep full on fiction for this feud right here at the ESPYs.
Keep kayfabe alive.
What did you think? Who, like, did you think that Sasha was just gonna, the moment that Bianca turns her back, just dive in and attack? Street fight on the streets of New York City.
No, not at all.
Falls Count Anywhere.
It was just fun. It was so if they know, and the ESPYs are, you know, it's voted on by the fans, but also like people outside of that. So they have to run it back. That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. So the best way to do that, or one way to do that, is for Sasha to get in this Money in the Bank ladder match and win it. So
yeah,
just looking at the people announced, I would want Naomi to win it. I would be rooting for Naomi. Yeah. But if
that's
Sasha,
my reaction.
Yeah, sadly. Right. Exactly. Sadly. If Sasha is announced for the match, then I think you got to go with Sasha for the win. So that's me hedging
but
my bets.
I guess here's the question of who will fill that spot. So we talked about Sasha. That's a really good option. Mm-hmm. And she would have to win if she fills that spot. Actually, I kind of feel
exactly,
like
right?
Becky Lynch is another option to fill that spot.
I mean, yes, but again, I'm not going to say anything about Becky Lynch because I feel like we're trying to rush this woman back from her fresh baby.
every show. Yeah. I know. And I don't see that happening either, because I don't think Becky Lynch should actually return into like a women's storyline or a match like Money in the Bank where it's a lot of other people in particular. Right. Like, she is standalone main eventer. You don't just throw The Rock into Money in the Bank. So you don't throw Becky Lynch into Money in the Bank. That's okay. My attitude. Yeah. But Mari, here's like my wild, this is never going to happen, but I'm going to put it out into the universe. I feel like that last spot might be taken by Eva Marie.
No, they do not need to put Eva in this match. That match quality will severely dip. And if I should have said, if it's not Sasha, I think it needs to be Sonya Deville.
Ooh, that's another one. Mm-hmm. And we talked about Sonya being in there and putting herself in. That actually would be okay. I take back
really
what
cool.
I said about Eva Marie, but I could mm-hmm. see some shenanigans with Eva working her way in through Sonya. Maybe she just gets traded to SmackDown to make it happen. Who knows? But the bigger shenanigans would be Sonya coming out on SmackDown. Ooh, I hope we get this. Sonya comes out, has the mic in hand, and it's like, I'm going to announce the next person in this match, making her return to WWE, to the WWE ring, Sonya Deville. And she's
she says, me.
Yeah. I think that's what's going to happen.
I don't think Sonya gets booed, though. Sonya doesn't get booed.
We're
in front of a cow.
Are they out of the... We're in front of a crowd already?
Yeah, on SmackDown, they will be in front of a crowd.
Oh my God, Mari, this is so like wild, confusing, because we have... I know that Rolling Loud is like a whole other thing in front of a crowd. We'll touch on that, but ooh, at some point. But wow. Okay, so we'll see. So, but I do think Sonya's the bet, and my pick will be... I hate this. Nikki A.S.H. is my winner pick for this. Really?
I do not think her story would work well with the win here.
I think I need to stick to my guns on this one, because I think I see her winning this and then cashing in on Charlotte and Rhea, and then but cashing in on them and joining the match. So a very face move.
Jesus.
And then I see her winning.
That would be my worst nightmare. That's literally...
I think that might happen. It might happen.
Every single day.
Honestly, I wish we could just sit here and talk through all of the scenarios, because then we'd be right about one of them. But right. That's the one I'm going to go with, because I just don't feel that strongly about... I just don't want Sasha to return here. But then again, that gives Sasha a very good reason to go right in and get in Bianca's face. Like ASAP on
No Bayley. They need Sasha. They need that star power back.
I just struggle to think that Sasha needs a briefcase to get that match, but
she doesn't need it. She doesn't need it, but come on, Money in the Banks.
WWE.com. Money in the Banks.
Money in the Banks. Like, it's right there.
It is right there.
So yeah.
Money does belong in banks. I like it. I like that.
All right, Matt, that's great. This has been a great episode. All of our predictions are there. We are getting them out to you guys before the pay-per-view. You can find all of the highlights that we've talked about in our show notes and descriptions, either on your YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm excited. I'm really excited. I can't wait. Again, follow us on Stereo at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two, and at Matt Scott GW. Both of those handles are also in our show notes. And you follow us on Stereo to get notified when we go live to talk about shenanigans of what's going to happen at Money in the Bank.
And be part of the podcast. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. You join us on Stereo right after Money in the Bank. You leave a question or a message and we'll talk about it. And so, be part of the show. We want you on the episode. It's going to be on the podcast feed. You're going to be famous.
You're going to be famous. Come on. Yeah, clearly.
Look at that. What else could you want?
Where else can the people find you?
Oh, that's the place. Matt Scott GW on Stereo, on Twitter, all of that. Just like Mari, I'm also covering Big Brother. So you could hear me by the time that this drops on the BB23 Thursday recap episode with Rob, Taryn, and Liana from over here on RHAP. Fancy lineup. And so it'll be interesting right after the first eviction, but that's where you could find me. Mari, where could we find you? I know that you were just talking about Big Brother this morning, so this is a very wrestling heavy day in the business world. But
exactly. I was on the live feed updates this morning, Thursday morning. Thursday morning. Ooh, I forgot the days. With Taryn. Yeah, so you can check that out before the episode, after the episode. I also got to sit down with Haley and Amy for the Bachelorette podcast.
Ooh.
That dropped on Wednesday, I think it was. Another two of my favorite worlds collide, the Bachelorette and Drag Race. So I had so much fun talking to them. So you can check out the Bachelorette Rehap Up podcast feed as well. Like we said, please rate, review, and subscribe. The Wrestling Rehap Ups podcast feed. You can also find us on YouTube at Rob Has a Podcast on YouTube. Subscribe to our podcast at robhasawebsite.com/subscribe. And we'll see you guys actually in a few days. If you're subscribed, you'll know whenever you'll get notified whenever one of our videos drop. So,
yes.
All right, Matt. So, of course, watch out for any flying elbows.